Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! Blessed Memorial Day to you and yours. Willie P, Nick Kale in the building here with you as we come to you, Memorial Day 2020. It is a different Memorial Day for a lot of us. But we hope that you're doing the best you possibly can to try and honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice to defend our country and the way of life that we know. Nick, I tell you what, man, I feel like they were trying to keep us apart for the longest time, you know, when they brought you on here. But it's good to finally be able to do a show with you. I know we had a couple of them scheduled before the pandemic hit, but it's great to hear your voice, and it's great to have you on. And I'm excited. These 5 hours are going to be a lot of fun.
No, it's good to be with you, Willie P. And obviously, let's all have some fun for the next couple of hours. Try to, you know, a little distraction from the reality that is our pandemic. And hopefully, people are responsible today. They're with friends, family. The grill's fired up. The cold ones are ice cold. And we don't forget about what this day truly means.
I know that I will use the John Chuckery / WWE moniker. You are coming to us from parts unknown, part of the Mobile Kia Studios. I'm sitting in our Mobile Kia Studios, also in Midtown Atlanta. What has life been like for you up where you guys are?
Yeah, I mean, it's been definitely different for the last 10 to 12 weeks. You know, the last few weeks start going out more often. I mean, really, for me, it's like I love to play golf. So the golf course has been a total sanctuary for me to kind of, you know, get away from reality while still doing some social distancing. But, you know, our gym started to open back up, and, you know, places and businesses are going to pick up tomorrow at like roughly 75% capacity. So, yeah, you start to feel like things are starting to turn the corner ever so slowly.
Yeah, I know things here in Atlanta have really ramped up over the last couple of weeks. Governor Brian Kemp, who actually is going to be on with Carl and Mike tomorrow, is going to talk with them about not only the sports side of this, but also the cultural side of this. I know I've been seeing less masks out, and I'm not calling people out for not wearing them. I'm not saying you have to wear one. I find it interesting how almost overnight, we went from being in a place where, you know, we were almost kind of afraid to go out, afraid to almost see our own shadow outside of our own houses, to where we are now kind of in a situation where it's almost okay. And I think that that's a good thing. It's a good thing, I think, for people to kind of be out and kind of test their limits of where things are, because at the end of the day, we kind of have to figure out how to kind of get on with our lives a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I hate when people make it out to be, well, you have to be all in on one end. Either you're not scared of COVID-19 or you're going to live the rest of your life in your house. I mean, just be smart, be responsible, use common sense and don't get too carried away too quickly.
Certainly not. And of course, we're all kind of itching for sports to get back. Here's where things kind of sit right now. We have the NBA and the NHL kind of working on their own plans to try and resume their seasons. MLS still trying to resume its season as well, possibly in a bubble in Orlando. And Major League Baseball has kind of been the one side that has looked somewhat, I would say, foolish, because they have had a very public fight between its owners and its players when it comes down to not only the financial aspects but the safety aspects. And the thing that you and I kept bandying about when we were talking to prepare for the show is that I don't have a lot of confidence in either side to not allow this whole opportunity for them to try and be center stage in the sports world for the first time in a long time. I'm afraid that they're going to figure out a way to screw this up.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. And for me, it's very simple. Major League Baseball, just get it right. I'm begging you, just get it right. Me personally, and this is just my opinion, there's nothing that is a bigger turnoff in pro sports than seeing billionaires fighting about money with millionaires. Because who ends up getting screwed? It's us, the fan, us, the consumer. And we're the one that is responsible for your salaries. If we don't show up at the park, you don't get a gate, you don't get an attendance, you don't get revenue generated. If we don't watch on TV, well, those massive TV contracts and all the advertising revenue that comes with it doesn't exist. So I'm begging you, baseball, just don't do what you did back in 1994. This is a great chance for baseball to kind of get the country going again.
That's Nick Cale, Willie P here with you in for the guys on Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and wherever you might be listening to us, whether it's at your cookouts, your grilling, you're by the pool, whatever you want to do, download the radio.com app and have it play 92.9 The Game on your smartphones and smart speakers. And while you're at radio.com, you can download a podcast that I contribute to on the baseball side called Batter Up. And one of the things I said when we were talking about this negotiation process 2 weeks ago is that, you know, there's a part of this where I kind of identify with the players when you think about the fact that they initially had their salaries cut in half and they're looking at possibly getting another third of that half cut basically from their end. So you're thinking about 35 to 36% of your initial revenue being cut. I can see and I can understand that perspective of them being upset. Mm-hmm. I can take that. But here's the other part of this, is that if you don't have baseball, no one's going to remember that. No one is, that's going to get lost to history. Think about back in 94 when they had the strike. Does anybody even really remember who actually got the better of it? It actually was the players, because they were able to stand their ground and get a lot of what they wanted out of the owners, and they wanted some of the same things actually that they're wanting right now, which is control of the revenue and things of that nature. But the fact remains is that that gets lost to history. All anybody remembers is we didn't have a World Series in 1994. And if they don't have baseball in 2020 because of these issues, no one's going to care about the players complaining about their money or the owners complaining about how the revenue gets split up.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. Nobody remembers how it played out and who actually won that battle. One of the things that we always talk about was the summer of 98 with steroids and Maguire and Sosa, and that brought the sport back. But I'm just thinking about I'm 36 years old. Over the last 25 years, you know, baseball's always been about strife and discord between the union and the owners. And I just don't want a repeat of 94, especially during a pandemic, because the optics of it are terrible. So many people have lost their jobs, struggling to get by. And I get it. These players only have a small window to make their money. But let's not be tone deaf to the situation. And I think Chipper and Glavin said it best, that players need to be more tactful than what Blake Snell was just a week ago.
They certainly do. And again, I think the messaging has been somewhat hard for them to come through. The NBA has been very curiously silent on a lot of these issues. I know that a lot of that stuff has kind of come from the underbelly. I saw Woj this morning speaking on ESPN, one of the rare times I've actually turned on ESPN other than to watch The Last Dance, honestly, because a lot of kind of what has been talked about is all this MJ and LeBron back and forth, and I can't really stomach any of that. But one of the things he said is that it seems like Orlando is the real deal when it comes to the complex of Disney World being able to house these guys for an abbreviated return to the regular season and then maybe an enlarged playoff. Same thing for MLS. I'm just wondering, you know, how big is Disney World? Like, are they going to be able to handle the NBA and the MLS coming back all at the same time. I just don't know how that's going to work.
I've gone with the wife and girls twice, and let me tell you, it is massive. I think they'll be able to handle it, and it's one of those things where, like, let's just eradicate the bottom 10 teams because they have nothing to play for. If they right. want to expand the postseason beyond 16 teams, I'm fine with that. And let's just get it going as soon as possible, because if they run up against the NFL and get this thing started too late, I think it's a terrible business decision because the NFL is going to devour them.
Yeah, one of the things that the guys before us, Chris and Jason, were talking about, and something that is at least something to take into account, is that many of the league's TV deals account for at least a 70-game regular season. The Hawks, for example, have played somewhere in the neighborhood of 66, 67 games, so they're about three short of that. So you'd have to give back some of the TV revenue that you would have gotten from that, I guess, less than full slate. That's the part of it that I think is really kind of holding up the NBA, because I think if they had their druthers, they'd go right into a postseason type format, whether it's an enlarged postseason or something somewhat of a hybrid. But the fact that you're going to have teams come down and play, what, 2 to 3 to 4 games? If I'm Lloyd Pierce and the Atlanta Hawks, I'm leaving Trae Young in Oklahoma. I don't want him getting sick. I don't want him getting hurt. I don't want him putting his butt on the line for these Fugazi games. And if I'm the Hawks, I'm tanking for my lottery pick right now. If the NBA is going to call the Hawks down to play, you know, four games, put Brandon Goodwin out there and roll the ball out. I can't stand for that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. There's zero to be gained from a Hawks perspective. And just thinking about this too, let me just throw this question to you really quickly. Would you put an asterisk on any of these teams winning it if they resume it like we think they're going to? Like, I mean, we saw the Lakers and the Clippers were rolling, the Bucks were rolling. If somebody other than one of the expected favorites is going to win this, would you label it with an asterisk because of the 12-week layoff?
Well, I'll throw it back in your way. Do you put an asterisk on the championship that the Spurs won in 99 after the lockout? Because they didn't start that season until January.
Right. No. I think Robinson and Duncan and that Spurs team was just, they demolished the Knicks. Absolutely not.
Yeah, and again, that was a Knicks team that even as an eighth seed went all the way through the Eastern Conference side of the postseason. So, I mean, I don't think that one gets an asterisk. I don't think this one would get an asterisk. The one that's a curious case, though, is baseball, because this baseball season is going to be such a departure from what the normalcy is when you think about things like the universal DH and the schedule being what it is and the fact that you're probably only going to be playing teams inside your own division or at least regionally. I think that one is going to be probably looked at with a lot more of a cursory eye than, say, the NBA or the NHL champion or even the MLS champion if they end up getting back to play and play most of the season. But I do think the NBA is in a very curious spot here too, because I think they want to protect whatever the 2021 season looks like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where their eye is. They want to make sure that they don't jeopardize whatever the next season is coming up. So I think that's the one thing that they have to weigh that baseball isn't weighing right now, is the fact that they have another season that they basically will bump right up against. And how do you go about starting that process after a presumptive 2020 season comes to a close?
Yeah, and interesting too that a lot of the stars in the NBA are trying to figure out a way to resume this season. The one guy who seems to be the most hesitant is James Harden. And I got to give love to my man James Harden for staying on brand, because James Harden's not about playing basketball into the summer.
Yeah, it's a hard thing for a lot of people to look forward. I think you and I are both kind of in concert, though. We want to see things get back underway. We want to see things get back into the swing of things. We already have some stuff back on TV. We were able to see basically the second kind of abbreviated weekend of sports. We will talk about the one event that really made a lot of people gather some eyeballs yesterday, the match between Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods and the two quarterbacks that have basically been star-crossed, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. That had a lot of attention yesterday. We'll tell you why when we come back. It is Dukes and Bell, Willie P, Nick Cale, in for the guys on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app on your smart speakers and smartphones.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Couldn't have a better scenario. Tiger with the putter in hand on his home course for the win.
Run out.
What a putt.
All right. Well, that ought to do it. Good, good.
Well, I still want to see Peyton knock that in. Oh, gentlemen.
Good work, boys.
Great plan.
Should
we
do this?
No. Get
Jake. Way to go, bro.
Great job, man.
Good job.
Tiger Woods.
That is the final putt, the little lag putt in there by Tiger Woods to get within a couple inches of the cup to secure the victory for Team Woods and Manning over Team Mickelson and Brady. In the interest of full disclosure, Nick, I was not a fan of this going in.
I know.
It was better than I thought it was going to be. But it still wasn't, I think, the big, huge, oh my God, this is amazing that I think everybody else was saying about.
I mean, you know the world is starting to return to some normalcy when the only thing we have on truly to watch, you know, people are criticizing on social media. Like, I wasn't expecting world-class golf from Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. I mean, they're both single-digit handicaps. Well, playing with a couple of goats, I wasn't expecting them to be lights out, but I thought yesterday was just captivating entertainment and great television because you had Brady just looking like absolute garbage on the front nine, and then Barkley runs his mouth, and then Tom Brady all of a sudden looks like, you know, Johnny Miller from 30 years ago, and he stuffs one from over 100 yards out. You know, Brady had that huge birdie putt. I thought it was great television, and I actually had a big takeaway from this. I just thought of this about 45 minutes ago. Let me run this by you and see if you would agree. So we would agree that Tiger is a better golfer than Phil.
Yes.
And Brady was the better quarterback than Peyton Manning, correct?
I would say yes on both accounts.
Okay. And then if I were to give you GOATs, Tiger, Brady, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, they're all killers. They're all assassins, stone cold, cold-blooded. I mean, they want to rip your heart out. And then you have, like, the really greats, like Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, Charles Barkley. You know, you throw in a guy like Tony Romo, who was pretty good. And they have unbelievable personalities. Like, there's something that separates the GOAT from the really good. Like, those GOATs have, like, Tiger Woods is, to me, is boring as all hell.
Yeah.
And I love Tiger Woods.
Tiger has made a living off of basically everything that happens on the course, but nothing off the course. I think you see more of that personality when it comes to those other guys. I think you see more of the personality with Peyton. I think you see a lot of it with MJ a little bit, especially when you think about what happened with The Last Dance. I think there's just something to that confidence and the way that they carry themselves. Tiger just channels it in a different way. He just channels it all into the golf. And look, here's the part of it that I liked personally. I loved seeing Tom Brady fail at something for the first time in my life because I can't stand Tom Brady. Like, I am as anti-Brady as anything else. Like, when I was texting with you yesterday, I was like, oh, I'm surprised that he's not using soap balls to try and, you know, in that rain because he wants to have them deflated or something like that. I mean, that part of it was great for me. But then, of course, he has what basically is the shot of the day. And also, he took a shot at the Falcons here, which I did not appreciate.
No, he did. And I know we have the audio of that. Like, the thing about me with Brady, though, is I just gravitate towards those guys that are never satisfied. Like, Tom Brady, Jordan, Tiger, they don't need to do another thing in their professional career ever again. Yet they're still so uber motivated. Like, Tom Brady is still angry that he was selected 199th overall or wherever he was drafted. And I love that about him.
This is Brady taking a shot at the Falcons, which I didn't appreciate.
Here.
These aren't the Falcons you're playing against. Tiger's a pretty good closer.
Same colors, though.
Man.
It's the Eagles that I cringe, bro, not the Falcons.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
There was a lot of shots taken yesterday, man, at college teams, at pro teams, at family, at friends. I thought it was captivating. I needed it.
I loved JT calling him fat as well. That was pretty funny. Yep. But hey, here's the thing. I liked it from the standpoint of it was a lot more personality-driven than last week's golf. Like, the golf last week couldn't have been more stale and stiff. Like, that was poorly done by NBC.
100%. And yeah, they tried to make a couple of jokes, and unless you're a hardcore PGA Tour fan, which I am, you're really not going to be captivated by that. Again, you give me Tiger, you give me Peyton, Phil, you give me Brady. I mean, I'm glued to the television. Although I would say one thing is totally unfair. And I think I mentioned this to you a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. It's not right for a guy like Steph Curry or Tony Romo to be as good as they are at their chosen profession and also be a scratch golfer. Like that's just not fair. I got to take that up with the Lord upstairs when I eventually cross the pearly white gates.
I think it's just unfair to be a good golfer, personally. I'm sorry. I know I said that line to you earlier this week, but I'm going to use it again. I just think it's unfair to be good at golf because as much time, energy, money, all that I've expounded into it, I still can't figure out a way to break 100. Like, that's the part of it that's just maddening to me, personally.
Now, how many years have you been playing for?
I have been playing for damn near 20 years.
Okay, and are you playing on a consistent basis? Because it takes time and it takes money.
I mean, I live in Georgia. We have a lot of months to be able to play. We have a lot of months, but I can't seem to figure it out. One thing we also were able to figure out yesterday, NASCAR with its second full week back, there was a little controversy there at the end because Chase Elliott had the lead for better part of the final 30 laps of the race. He comes into pit, leaving Brad Keselowski to take the spoils.
Johnson's got it down to one car length. Keselowski at the bottom of the racetrack. This is it for the win.
Brad Keselowski off turn four, two car length advantage. Brad Keselowski will claim his first victory in the Coca-Cola 600, bettering Jimmy Johnson. And it's Brad Keselowski coming away with another crown jewel victory.
Jimmy Johnson actually penalized after the fact. He does not get that second place finish. He actually is all the way back to 40th because he failed a post-race inspection. But all anybody wanted to talk about after the race was Chase Elliott, his decision to pit instead of staying out there. He says no regrets.
All right, you just make the best decision you can based on the information you have. When you're leading the race like that, the people behind you are going to do the exact opposite of what you do. So that was the situation we were put in. Alan made a decision. We stuck with it, and it didn't work out.
They will race back on Wednesday at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Developing story in the world of college football, at least involving a former college football athlete, Nick. Reggie Bush apparently taking some exception to ESPN, the worldwide leader, putting an out-of-context comment that he made to Playboy where he said basically the paying of players is going to, quote, destroy some people when their actual quote reads, "It's going to destroy people who aren't grounded and don't really have a sense of a good background and an ability to handle things like instant wealth." I think his initial premise is okay, but I also feel like anytime you start going into that realm, especially if you're that guy, you're walking a very fine line. Because I know that there are a lot of people who look at Reggie as kind of the poster child for this whole paying of the players argument, which is somewhat of a very divisive issue in the world of college athletics.
Well, I mean, you can go back even a dozen years before that with Chris Webber and the Fab Five in Michigan and compensation. But what I don't buy into at all is this notion that a lot of college athletes are going to cash in. Like, from a national standpoint, the only guys that are going to cash in on name, image, and likeness with a national company or an advertisement or an endorsement deal are somebody like a Tim Tebow or a Reggie Bush that are generational players. So to me, it comes back to like a local level. Like, you might get, like, if you're the best player for Georgia or you're the best player for Texas, you might get a barbecue endorsement or you might get a local car dealership endorsement.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, like, there's going to be less than 10 guys in college football that are going to make significant money doing this. I think we're just not realizing how little these guys are going to make. It's not going to be life-changing money.
Well, I think from a standpoint, I almost look at it more from the Olympic sports and the non-revs. Like, I feel like anyone who is a volleyball player or a softball player or a tennis player, to have the ability to have an individual camp and be able to give lessons and things of that nature, I feel like the opportunity is there for them. This is more for those sports to get opportunities that they wouldn't ordinarily have to supplement basically a partial scholarship. Like, a lot of those athletes aren't getting full rides. I feel like that's where the real benefit is. I think from the football standpoint, yes, the very insane money is only going to be reserved for a few. But I also think when you look at a lot of these schools, especially I think about, like, you know, Georgia and Clemson, Alabama, Auburn, these schools where the college team is basically the pro team in that market, you're going to have a scenario where I think those athletes will have a better opportunity to get rewarded. And of course, I think in the recruiting game, just by extension of having that brand in that particular market, you'll have more opportunities for those type of athletes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at it from like major elite college football programs. Like, I would say three guys would make a ton of money if it was going into place this season. I think Trevor Lawrence would make a killing at Clemson. I think Justin Fields would make a killing at Ohio State. And I think Sam Ellinger would make a killing at Texas.
Sure.
But after that, I'm just thinking, you know, some of these guys might get $5,000 here, $10,000 there. And I mean, you can only do so much with $10,000. So I don't know how it's really going to alter your life and screw you up.
But I also don't think that it's fair to not have them be able to have these opportunities, though. That's
true.
That's the part of it, I think, that yes. You know, that so much of that money had been reserved for people who don't step on the field. And that's right. The part of it that I've never really gotten behind. It is Dukes and Bell, Willie P, Nick Cale in for the guys. We were talking a little bit earlier about Major League Baseball and its attempts to try and come back to play. Some reporting over the course of the last 24 hours indicates that Major League Baseball is taking a bit of a departure from its initial stance. Here's Jeff Passan of ESPN saying that the owners might have to rethink any proposal that they bring back to the players this week.
If MLB wants this to go anywhere, they are going to have to take a different tack this time around and really convince a very jaded Players Association that there is some kind of financial agreement to be struck beyond the one that the players believe happened in March that entitled them to a prorated share of every game that they play.
That's Jeff Passan. Again, we're going to talk to Bob Nightingale, our Radio.com MLB insider, and also works for USA Today about this a little bit later on in the program. And I think, too, the Athletic had a report last night, too, Nick, where they were trying to say that Major League Baseball probably wants to go back to having the prorated salary be the number or possibly have some deferred money. I think that's a step in the right direction, but like I said before, no one really cares about how this gets done. They just care that it gets done.
Totally agree. I would say baseball is the number three sport in America behind the NFL and the NBA. Get it right, baseball, because you don't want to fall into the fourth spot.
Speaking of the NFL, we will talk some Falcons when we come back. They added another former first-round pick late last week. We ask you, which of those former first-round picks that they brought in this offseason will have the biggest impact? Willie P, Nick Cale in for Dukes and Bell on a Memorial Day Monday. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the Radio.com app. It is Dukes and Bell, Willie P, Nick Cale in for the guys here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Be sure to teach your smart speaker to listen to 92.9 The Game. Download the Radio.com app on your smart speakers or smartphones. They play 92.9 The Game, and you'll be able to hear all of our shows. Also, be sure to use the rewind function. If you miss anything that happened earlier on in our shows, you can rewind and listen to them that way. I'm going to make you really mad, Nick.
Now, why you got to do that? It's a Memorial Day. It's good, beautiful weather. You got to tick me off.
You know what I'm looking very forward to this week that
What's
I have
that?
Scheduled? I have a haircut scheduled for Wednesday that I am so looking forward to. And I know that that's not something you can relate to.
Well, no, I can't relate to that. I haven't been able to relate to that for about 2.5 years. But I have noticed you have a nice little head of lettuce there. So, I mean, are we going like the full deal, like the scalp massage and the whole luxury treatment? Or are you just getting a quick trim in and out?
I'm going to try to get in and get out and not really do too much, you know. I feel like almost like a baseball player sitting here. Try not to do too much, you know. Get a ball with eyes. No, I'm trying to go in and just be like, hey, just do whatever is quickest. Just, you know, do whatever's quickest and less and most painless. Because it's at a point right now where if I took the longest strand of my one set of the real long part and put it all the way down, it can go to my mouth. Like that.
Are you serious?
That's how long it is right now. That's,
God bless you, man.
It's, and I don't want it that way, but it's just because nothing's been open, so it's kind of a situation. And I do not feel confident enough to go deep in the weeds and try to, you know, cut my own hair. I've seen people try to do that, and you know, I've thought about, you know, doing some other things to try and creatively possibly make that happen. Yeah, no, that's not happening.
No, the only way you cut your own hair is if you get to the point where you're like me, where it doesn't make any financial sense to keep getting a bald fade every 2 weeks. Then you just get the Bic razor blade, you do it in the shower every 2 days, and then you're as smooth as a cue ball.
What was the breaking point for you? What was the breaking point?
It was like when I actually had a full head of hair like you, I would go see a stylist. Like get the scissor cut and everything. And then from like 25 until 32, I went with the bald fade because the hair was starting to recede back like Stephen A. Smith and my forehead was looking a little bit bigger. So I did that for like 7 years. And then I realized after a week it looked like crap when it started growing back. And I'm like, I'm spending $25 every 2 weeks. No, it's time to just buy the clippers and shave it every 2 days at home for free.
I was turned on to the whole stylist thing when I moved to South Carolina the first time. I met was a mutual friend of mine at a party, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I cut dudes' hair all the time." And then when I found out what the heck she charged, I was like, "Man, it was way too much."
Yeah, well, and that's just the base price. You got to factor in the tip as well.
Oh yeah, well, believe me, and you have to tip well at those places, or else it's like, you know, they're not going to invite you back. It's almost kind of like, I think being getting your hair cut at a salon, it's almost like being a member of a country club. It's like you have all these benefits. Your hair always comes out looking nice. That's the other part of it, is that when you go to those places, you don't come out having a bad haircut.
Mm-hmm.
But the bad part about it is that you feel like you have to almost pay extra for that.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like I can have I can have my car valeted. I can have all these other things. You know, I can have free range balls. Yeah, guess what? That $5,000 membership fee shows up in your credit card bill in the automatic draft. It's like, oh my God,
I hear that.
What the hell am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
It is Dukes and Bell. We are here on a Memorial Day, and we reiterate what we said earlier. We thank all those who had either a family member or someone close to them make the ultimate sacrifice to do what we do, which is just spout off and talk about sports all day. You guys are the reason that makes it possible for us to be able to do that, and we certainly salute you not only on this Memorial Day but every day. Looking at the Falcons off season, and Nick, I think that there's looking at kind of the way that they have structured their off season. I almost feel like this is almost a compilation of all these former first-round picks. Like, they are going off of so much potential with some of these free agents, and they get Deion Buchanan, who is obviously, again, somebody, a former first-round pick, hasn't panned out in the league the way that we thought he was going to. I almost wonder, it's like, okay, they're hoping that if they can bring some of these guys in, they're hoping at least half of them hit when it comes to the upcoming season.
Yeah, and I think it's really hopefully, you know, change of scenery will do them some justice and they'll get some production out of these guys. And you mentioned Deion Buchanan. I know Brian Baldinger does his weekly appearance with Andy and Randy. I actually was his producer and co-host about 7 years ago in Philadelphia, and he loved Deion Buchanan coming out of Washington State, 6'1", 211. I think Dan Quinn's going to find a good spot for him because he's a versatile tweener. He can play linebacker / strong safety or that bigger nickel position. So I think this is one of those guys that maybe a change of scenery might actually work really well for him.
Yeah, he's kind of one of those change of scenery type guys. And I also think, too, you know, you think about some of these other guys that they brought in. You know, Hayden Hurst is a guy who, no matter where he has been, he has been underutilized wherever he's been. I just wonder why it seems like people continue to underutilize him. I feel like with his body, his ability to gain separation, and the ability to kind of use him almost in a way that Brady used Gronkowski, I'm not saying he's that kind of player, but in an offense like the Falcons that has so much reliance on a tight end and tight end productivity, I mean, you were able to get Austin Hooper paid. I think you can get a lot of output out of Hayden Hurst that you hadn't seen anywhere he's been, not only in college but also in the pros.
Well, let's think about this. Last year, Hayden Hurst had 30 catches in 2019 as the third tight end in Baltimore behind Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle. We know Baltimore loved to run the ball with Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram. And, you know, you throw in guys like Hollywood Brown. So he wasn't even one of their main fixtures, and he still was able to get 30 receptions, which isn't too shabby on a run-first team. So I'm with you. You know, you give him Matt Ryan, you've got Julio, and you've got Ridley. I mean, could he be Austin Hooper light? I think it's very plausible.
I'm very curious to see just how the defensive line shakes out, because you have a lot more options that you can plug and play in there right now. When you think about the fact that you bring in Dante Fowler, you wonder what kind of a depth piece Charles Harris is going to be, especially on pass rushing downs. And, of course, you add in Marlon Davidson from the draft standpoint. This is a much different defensive line that you have now. And you think about the fact that you have really – motivated Tack McKinley off of the fact that he is not going to have his fifth-year option picked up.
How much, when we look at Dexter Fowler, like, and by the way, I would say Hayden Hurst is the first-round pick that I'm the most excited for, but how much of Fowler's success had to do with Aaron Donald?
I think a lot of it. I think a lot of it has a big success to do it, but I almost feel like when you put Dante Fowler next to Grady Jarrett, I think that's the same thing. I think that's the same type of thing, because I think Grady Jarrett is a guy who commands a double team. He takes up space, and you force offensive lines to have to make the choice. Either you want to set up a one-on-one matchup with Fowler on the outside, or you are content to try and let Grady eat lunch, basically right there in the middle. That's the whole big thing. And the problem that's existed for the Falcons is that the guy next to Grady has been Vic Beasley, and Vic Beasley has been basically a one-trick pony here and somewhat of a pariah.
Yeah, and I think in fairness, too, to Fowler, when you blow your knee out in like the first or second day of camp 5 years ago as a rookie, you kind of fall behind the eight ball. But when you look at Fowler and when he has had success, whether it's with the Rams or even, you know, towards the end of his time with the Jaguars, Calais Campbell, Giannis Ngakoue, he's always been surrounded by talent. So I think it's just a matter of him putting it out there on display week in and week out.
I'm curious, too, from the standpoint of how they will organize a linebacker in core, because when you have Buchanan in there and you throw in Foye Luikin, who they are very, very high on, I'm not sure I'm as high on him as the Falcons are, but you need to have some sort of threat there next to Deion Jones, whether that's Buchanan, whether that's Michael Walker, who they brought in on the draft as well, or if it's somebody else who we just don't know yet is going to be a contributor. That's the big thing, I think, for me, is that that part of the team, when you think about the second level of where the Falcons were, a lot of their inconsistencies were up the middle, and I'm very curious to see how they structure that whole thing. It's going to be interesting to look at that, and we'll continue to bat it around. We're asking you which former first-round pick that the Falcons brought in this offseason is the most that you believe in. Nick says Hayden Hurst. I'm looking at a bounce back from Todd Gurley. That's the one for me. We'll come back. NFL Blitz comes your way. What the NFL is prepared to do when it comes to playing this upcoming season. When we come back, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.